Jordan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Kevin Hohalter. I'm here on behalf of the appellant Jennifer Musto. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
The question that we have for the Court this morning is whether the owner of a tree has a right of action for damages against a neighbor who trims overhanging roots or branches in such a manner that it destroys or seriously injures the tree. The question is not, as respondents have framed it, whether a property owner has a right of self-help to trim those roots and branches or not. We recognize the right of self-help to trim overhanging roots and branches. But there's also a competing legal principle, which is that a property owner must use their property in such a manner as to not unreasonably cause damage to the rights of their neighbors.
And what authority do you cite for that proposition?
It's in the briefing. I'm sorry. I have to look.
Clear. Is there any Washington authority that to that effect?
Yes. So there are Washington cases that recognize that principle. There's the Sandberg case, which is 95 Wash 556, and also the Karasek case, 22 Wash 419. So these cases are from 1917 and 1900.
And one of those cases deals, I think the Sandberg case, that deals with a party starting a fire on, I think it was a railroad company, they started a fire on their property and it spread to the neighbors. Is that right? Is that the case we're talking about?
That's my memory of it, Your Honor, yes.
Is there anything in that case that has to do with the neighbor whose property was harmed encroaching on the railroad's property?
To my memory, no. I don't think that there is.
And do you think that's a meaningful distinction between the situation in Sandberg and the situation that we have here?
Well, the difference is that we now have a new situation that hasn't been addressed directly by any Washington case. And so we're looking back for the general legal principles that would help the court to resolve the rights of the parties in this case. So on the one hand, we have the principle in the Gustina case that says a property owner has a right of self-help to trim those roots and branches. On the other side, we have this principle that's illustrated in the Sandberg case that a property owner in using their own property must do so in a way to avoid unreasonably damaging their neighbors.
But I'm not sure that's what you're really asking, though, here. Because in this case, what you're asking for is that a person's ability to use their own property be limited, not in terms of damage that they're going to cause to the neighbor, but be limited by an encroachment by that neighbor onto the person's own property. In other words, if I allow my tree to grow over it and send my roots over to my neighbor's property, my neighbor has to now take care of my roots. If he does something that harms my roots, then he is going to be liable for the damage that he caused, even if he's doing something that otherwise would be perfectly reasonable with his own property. And I'm not sure that there's any authority you've cited that supports that proposition.
There, as I said earlier, there's no Washington case that directly addresses the fact pattern we have here. We have only those general principles, and then we can look to other states and see what those courts have done. For example, we cite to the Busca case out of California, in which we have a very similar situation. The roots grew over into the neighboring lot. The party encroached upon, cut those roots and caused serious damage to the tree on their neighbor's property. And the court there resolves these two competing legal principles by saying the right of self-help is not absolute. It is, like every other right to use your own property, limited by that principle that you can't unreasonably harm your neighbor. And so in that case, it came down to the question of whether that trimming was reasonable in relation to the damage that was caused to the neighbor.
Is there any consideration given to the fact that the tree roots emanate from a neighboring property? It's one thing if somehow the adjacent neighbor caused damage to the property of their neighbor. But in this case, we have a situation in which the tree roots, the only one that can control them is the actual owner. And so when the owner has a tree, I would venture to guess that everyone sitting in this room has a neighbor whose tree roots are somehow impinging upon their property.
So I would look to, again, the Gustina case, which establishes or recognizes in Washington this right of self-help. In the Gustina case, the neighbor who was being encroached upon was seeking an injunction against the encroachment. And the court said, well, the encroachment itself is not a nuisance that can be enjoined unless it is causing damage to the property that it's encroaching upon. And we see that play out in the Forbes case, where the roots not only encroached onto the property, but they got into the sewer line and caused damage. That's a situation where the property owner encroached upon should be able to get rid of those roots. But if there's an encroachment without damage, it's not a nuisance. And there's a balancing that needs to happen between the right to remedy that encroachment and the other party's right to have a tree on their property.
Thank you.
You have your 3 minutes, everybody.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. If it pleases the court, I'm William Gibbs. I represent the respondents in this case, who were the neighbors whose property was encroached upon by the appellant's tree. I frankly think this case was decided by the Supreme Court in Gustina over 90 years ago. The fact pattern is essentially indistinguishable from this. There was a neighbor who cut overhanging roots and branches allegedly out of spite. Or I'm sorry, they didn't cut them, but instead of cutting them, they sought judicial relief to try to get the court to order the tree owner to cut them. But the underlying facts are identical. The difference between this case and that case is what was done. One tried to get an injunction. In my client's case, they exercised the right of self-help, which was expressly recognized in the Gustina case. It may not have been suitable for injunctive relief, but the court said you can go ahead and cut things right up to the property line. That is the rule in virtually every case that has ever looked at this issue across the country. I cited more than 40 cases supporting that proposition at the trial court level. I gave you a sampling of them in my appellate brief here and referenced the appellate record. There may be a balance.
It's reasonable about the result that the court reached in Busca, though.
I mean, I'm sorry?
The court in Busca, the case?
Yes.
I mean, it does make a lot of sense. I mean, essentially what the court is requiring is that people be neighborly towards each other and give some consideration to your neighbor when you're conducting business on your own property. Is that a legal principle that is we should not recognize?
Well, as a general overall concept, Your Honor, of course, we should always be reasonable in our actions with regard to our neighbor. But the difference comes when we are getting into a neighbor's right. The neighbor has no right to use my land to support their trees. It's an encroachment onto my property. They don't have the right to encroach. And you can look at reasonableness of the conduct or not, but then you have to get into a whole nother litany of issues. And the Alvarez case, which we talked about, discussed them. What rule are you going to formulate that allows a judge or a jury to apply this reasonableness rule? Is it 1 inch across the property line? Fine. A foot? 10 feet? 20 feet? Where do we draw the line? Well, the court's drawn the line.
There's expert testimony from an arborist who will say that if you had trimmed the roots in this particular fashion, the tree would have been fine, and then you would have to explain why you didn't trim the roots in that particular fashion. That seems easy enough to
figure out. If the court's suggesting that you can still maintain the encroachment, you can only cut it back. Say it's 10 feet into the property line, and an arborist says, if they'd only cut it back 10 feet, the tree would have survived. You're still leaving 10 feet of encroachment that the tree owner has no right to have on the other person's property.
But didn't they find that the mere encroachment of roots, is not a nuisance unless it's threatening something on your property?
Oh, in Gostina? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what they said. Right. It's not causing damage. Right. Therefore, it's not a nuisance. However, even though it's not causing damage, you have the right to self-help to remove that encroachment. And again, that's the rule in every case in this country that I found, except Busca out of California. And Busca has never been cited favorably by another court anywhere, including California, in a published decision. Frankly, it's the outlier that has no support anywhere. I really don't have a lot else to say. I would say if the court wants to start looking at motive, Gostina said motive wasn't relevant. The Kasaric case, which was the spite fence statute case, also said that a common law, the motive for building a spite fence is irrelevant. It only became relevant when there was a statute that was passed that made it relevant. Here there is no statute that would make motive relevant here. And if we start getting into motive, we should have to get pretty deep into it. Let's assume I hate my neighbor. I absolutely despise my neighbor, and I go and I cut the roots of their tree up to the property line. Don't we then have to get into the reason why I hate my neighbor? Doesn't that become relevant? Or is it just that I hate him? Is that good enough? My neighbor raped my child. Are my actions justifiable then? Let's say a little less dramatic. He simply had an affair with my wife. Does my anger at my neighbor become an issue then where we have to look at both sides? So he cuts me off in traffic. We're on this continuum. If you're going to start delving into motive, is it okay for me to go ahead and do it out of spite? I don't think we have to go there. I think the courts across the country have looked at this issue. They've balanced the competing interest, and they almost universally have said, the property is your property. Your neighbor has no right to encroach on it, and you have the right to remove the encroachment. Unless you've got some questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I'd like to clarify a little bit regarding the Gostina case and other cases across the country that have been referred to here. The Gostina case and most of those other cases from other states address whether there is a right of self-help, but those cases do not address whether there are any limits on that right of self-help. They do not address the question of what happens if your trimming is done in a manner that damages the neighbor's tree. And so while they are somewhat relevant in terms of is there a self-help right, they're not entirely helpful because they don't address this question. Counsel says that Busca is the only case that addresses this, and that's not correct. We've cited the Fleegman case out of New York, which is a persuasive authority. There's also the Harding case out of Alabama, which in that case didn't provide the remedy, but it was because of the evidence. And similarly with the Higdon case out of Oklahoma, the courts talk about this reasonableness, but in those two cases, it went the other way because there wasn't evidence that it was unreasonable. Here, we have presented evidence that it's unreasonable. But really what it comes down to here is that this court can reverse the trial court because the decision was based on whether or not there is a remedy. So the extent of our evidence is really not at issue. The record is not developed on that because the summary judgment motions dealt with this pure legal issue. Counsel asked, well, what if we do set up a reasonableness rule, what's that rule going to be? Where do we draw the line? And I think Your Honor got to the point of it where it would be based on standards of care. We have evidence in this record of a standard of care in the industry. CP 56, I think, is where it's found. Standards of care are commonly applied by the courts in tort law. And so it's not something that's so unusual that it should stay the court's hand in this case. We also have a parallel in nuisance law where the courts balance the utility of the use that one landowner is making of his land against the damage that is caused to neighbors. And so we would urge the court to apply that balancing that exists in nuisance law, that exists in the common enemy rule, and reverse this decision and let us go to trial.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.